Thank you. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, if you would please. I am praying for your pastor. Been praying for him. I'm glad to hear that he's got somebody covering for next week. Praying for his recovery. I know a little bit about some of the surgery. I had a couple surgeries myself, had diverticulitis, and so being in the hospital for 2 weeks without eating. One of the problems I had, though, I was stupid. I watched the cooking channel the whole time I was in there. I put myself in like a frenzy, you know what I mean? But, you know, after 2 days in the hospital, you want to get out. You want to go, you know? And so he's been, all that he's been through over the years, praying for him, praying for everybody, praying for his family, praying for everybody in this church. Just praying for the Lord's blessing, Lord to touch him and heal him. And it's a miracle that he's here as long as he's been here with the issues that he's had, from what I understand. I mean, when I first met him, and, you know, he told me he had some cancer issues, and he's had it for, what, 10 or 14 years? 11 years. He's been going on. I mean, you know, tough road, but God's grace is sufficient. You know, I think of what Paul, you know, whatever his physical ailment was, and he sought the Lord. He besought the Lord thrice, you know, and the Lord said, you know what? I'm going to give you my grace. You know, by the way, I personally don't want to hear that. You know what I mean? I want, you know, take the situation away. You know, I don't want the grace to get through it. I want to get over it, you know? But he's had a lot of grace, and we're praying for his grace to continue, and just praying for him and for everything. I want to speak this morning. I had a hard time this week trying to figure out what to preach, or what to teach, what to share, whatever it is. What time do we usually get done in Sunday school? About 10:25. Last time I forgot you started at 9:30, and I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, man, I got 15. I usually go to about quarter of. I'm thinking, man, I got 20 minutes and I'm almost done my med. What happened? I didn't realize we're on a different time schedule. This is the West Coast right now. We're on a different time frame, you know. And so anyway, I just want to make sure so that we get everybody to the bathroom. Amen. I just was. It's not a matter of having something to say. You know what I mean? It's a matter of what to say. I personally believe that the Lord has a word for each person, for each gathering. You know, I think a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You know, I have a box in my car and I have about 176 messages. Some of those messages are series of messages. So it's 250. In fact, I used to warn people, if this message don't over, I'm going out and getting another one, and we're going to stay here until we get the Lord's message. But anyway, I opened my box. I got in the front of it and I made up my own little system. I pull out a paper. I got 12 pages with all the titles, and I'm praying for the Lord's will, and I'm looking and I'm looking at the titles, and I'm just waiting. I just need the Lord to touch my heart about what it is, you know, to bring, you know. And anyway, I wrote a statement and I put it on the top of my box. And the statement says this: a wealth of knowledge is wonderful, but the right word at the right time is providential. And to me, that's the main thing. It's not a matter of just grabbing a message and, well, this will work, I'll just take it. I just don't want to do that. I want to make sure the best that I can, humanly possible, Lord, what is it that you'd have me to bring? You know, keep my life clean, keep my life right, make sure I'm not being any hindrance to the Lord. You know, what word? And I had a hard time this week. Well, I tell you, I just was like, nah. And then I think it was yesterday morning, this kind of jumped off the page for whatever reason. And I want to speak a little bit this morning on being diligent, being diligent. Basically what it is, it's pretty much a topical lesson on the word diligent, pretty much hitting some different key verses throughout the Bible. But I've done this a couple years ago, and I think it was a blessing to my heart, but for some reason it was something the Lord laid on my heart. So we're going to work on that this morning in Sunday school. I have a different message in the morning service, but I want to talk About being diligent. Would you look at 2 Corinthians, please, chapter number 8? And would you look with me in verse number 7? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 7. The Bible says this. Yes, 2 Corinthians 8, 7. Therefore, as you abound. By the way, abound means grow, right? We ought to abound. We ought to grow, right? As you abound, as you grow, if you will, in everything, in faith, in utterance, and in knowledge. Basically, we ought to grow in all these different things, right? And then he says, also in all diligence. And then he says, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. And I'm not going to get into the context of 2 Corinthians 8. And this grace also is the grace of giving. I don't know, how many people heard, the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's the grace of giving. And basically, it was Paul was taking up a collection for the Jerusalem church that had suffered some issues, and they really needed some financial help. And Paul said to the Gentile churches, look, get a gathering of some money together. Let's give it to these people. And by the way, let's let them know that we are appreciating the fact that salvation is of the Jews. Amen. We got the scriptures. We got the Savior. We're grateful. And by the way, it would also bring some unity between Jew and Gentile. And just it was a love offering, basically, for the mother church, if you will. Now, I know, and I don't know if you do it here. Do you do faith promise missions? Okay. Because and I, whether you did it or not, I will still tell the truth about the text. People take this text and they use it to talk about faith promise missions. And they basically say that this is a text that's got to do with foreign missions. And basically it doesn't. If you know the script, it doesn't talk about it. Now, there's nothing wrong with applying something and say, hey, let's help needy churches and, so on. I don't understand that, right? But the very context of it is this is a benevolent fund. And so anyway, Paul says, listen, you need to, as you grow in everything, we ought to be growing spiritually in the right things. Amen. And he said, grow in this, grow in that, grow in faith, utterance, so on. But then he says, grow in diligence. And so diligence was something that we need to have, but not only have it, we need to grow in it. Now, here's what I want to say. Let me start off by first of all saying, what is diligence? And you can look up the word diligent in the Bible, or not in the Bible. You could look it up in a Webster's dictionary. In fact, I got one of the oldest Webster's dictionaries so that I can kind of get some good understanding of some words were used, especially in the Bible, if you will. But let me give you the basic thought of being diligent. And I think I just summed it up this way. Being diligent is being dedicated to a task. I mean, you could look up so many different things, a lot of great understandings and words to define it, but I try to wrap it up in a very simple thought. One of the things that we need to be is we need to be dedicated to a task. Now, I personally think we need to be dedicated to multitask. In fact, that's the emphasis of multitasking, man. Can I get a witness on that one? That's first time. Can I get a witness on that one? I remember a preacher preaching and he said, man, Christianity in a Christian life, trying to maintain all the different things we need to maintain, is like the guy at the circus that's got the plates on the sticks. How many people remember that one? I mean, he's got the spinning one, this one here, and then he's got to spin this and spin. And by the time he's done this one, he's got to get back to this one. And that's the way our life is, isn't it? I mean, we're trying to, maintain our Bible reading. We're trying to pray and stay right with our, trying to be faithful to, and just so many things. We got to multitask, don't we? We got to be diligent, not just about one thing. We got to be diligent about many things, right? We really got to be dedicated to the task. Now, what I want to do this morning, and by the way, I doubt if I'll cover it. I usually have too much to say. Did you ever hear that one before? I usually have too much to say, so sometimes it'll spill over to another service. Maybe tonight, Lord willing, we'll see what happens. But I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time with just coming up with a 3-point sermon and a poem and, just throwing it out there for 15 minutes. I really do. Because I really like to get into the book, and it's hard for me to pass verses without throwing out the context of it, which, by the way, to me is important. It's important. Why? Because the strength of a verse is the context. Amen? Can I get an amen on that one? Some things that Christians need to be diligent about. That's what I want to talk to you about. Some things that Christians need to be diligent about. Some tasks that we need to be dedicated to. Now, the scriptures give us, if you will, the word diligent in many different areas. And I want to use some of these to say, look, here's what the scripture encourages us. We need to be diligent in this area and kind of encourage our hearts this morning. Number one, if you would you turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to challenge us and I want to encourage us this morning to be diligent about some of the things that the Bible really encourages us and challenges us to be diligent about. Now, I'll be honest with you. Telling somebody to be diligent that's tired is not easy. Can I get a witness on that one? I mean, you know, when you're weak and wearied, one of the last things you want to hear is, hey, you need to be dedicated and stick to the task. Amen. But I want you to note some things. Number one, I want you to get this. Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to look in verse number 6. But I want you to note this. Number one, we need to be diligent about prayer. We need to be diligent about prayer. What does that mean? We need to be dedicated to the task. And by the way, prayer is not always easy. Amen. I'll tell you why some of the reasons it's not easy is because my flesh does not like it. I think sincere prayer is probably one of the hardest battles to face. The flesh opposes it. And by the way, the devil opposes it. I mean, one of the things, some of you've heard this before, and I'm sure you'll hear it again. One of the things that scares the devil the most is his weakest Christian on his knees. Why? Because the devil knows when you're a praying person, you're a depending person. You're depending on the Lord because you realize you're weak. Amen. The devil fights the prayer closet. Sometimes I find it easier to read my Bible than to pray. There's a physical battle. There's a mental battle to prayer. I mean, just trying to get to that place where your mind is focused on the Lord and on praying, you know, getting past everything that's been on your mind from the week past and from the week that's coming, you know. But we need to be diligent to this task. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11, please, in verse number 6. The Bible says this, but without faith, believing God, if you will, it is impossible to please him, referring to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. By the way, one of the things you got to believe is you got to believe he is. Amen. Verse number 6 goes on to say, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And get the next statement. You also must believe that he's a rewarder of that what? Diligently seek him. To me, that's prayer. And by the way, faith thrown in that verse, it takes faith to diligently pray. It takes faith to keep on praying. Amen. I don't understand. There, by the way, there are things that I read in the Bible. There are some connections I make that I don't fully get, but sometimes I'll throw them out because sometimes other people will help put it together as well. I mean, you think about the thought of praying. I mean, listen, Paul prayed what? 3 times. Remember that? How about Jesus in the garden? How many times did he pray? 3 times. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. But the fact of the matter is we need to pray and not what? Faint. Amen. Pray without ceasing. And so this is something we need to be diligent to the task of prayer. Now, I want you to look with me, please, in Luke chapter number 11, please. Luke chapter number 11. This things the Bible really, really encourages you and I that are saved, you and I that are children of God, we are encouraged to be dedicated to the task of praying. We need to be a praying people. What does that mean? We need to be a people that are in contact with the Lord. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you are demanded to pray a particular amount of time. I'd be wrong doing that. Hey, you know, the sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. That's a good song, but I could change it to sweet time of prayer. Can I get a witness on that one? Now, let me tell you what happens is I've grew up and I've heard preachers get up. If you don't spend so much time in prayer, you're not right with God. If you don't spend so much time in the Word of God, you're not right with God. And the fact of the matter is you don't find that in the Bible. You may find statements like Jesus said to Peter, couldn't you not watch with me 1 hour? That doesn't mean could you not pray 1 hour? Hey, he couldn't even watch and pray for 1 hour. He couldn't stay awake for 1 hour. And by the way, sometimes the term is used as a short amount of time. you know, the hour of their time. And sometimes it's just a short amount of time. But the fact of the matter is, I would say this, brothers and sisters, we just need to get contact with the Lord and stay in contact with the Lord. I like that song, Whisper a Prayer in the Morning, Whisper a Prayer at Noon, Whisper a Prayer in the Evening, to keep what? Your heart in tune. To me, prayer, real prayer, means I face God. And when I face God, what that means is I conscientiously realize I can't face Him without being right. I got to go through the blood to face Him. Amen. No doubt about it. I try to encourage my children. And by the way, I heard a great preacher say, I have a hard time praying for 15 minutes. He said, but although I find myself praying every 15 minutes. I don't understand. You understand what I'm saying? Keep your heart in tune. Listen, some people think and try to... they try to make themselves keep some kind of schedule to the point where they'll be hypocritical in doing it. In other words, they'll pray, if you will, just to pray. They'll not speak from the heart to the Lord. They'll speak from their head, some kind of paper, if you will, just doing their duty. Strength in prayer is better than length in prayer. I mean, Lord, save me. He answered prayer. Amen. It don't always have to be a Solomonic dedicating of the temple prayer. Amen. We need to stay in tune with the Lord. Stay in tune with the Lord. We need to be diligent about prayer. Look with me, if you would, please. Luke chapter number 11. And here's some scriptures from the Lord Jesus where He encourages His disciples and you and I that are saved. He encourages us to be diligent about prayer. We need to be persistent, if you will. Luke chapter number 11. Let's begin in verse number 5. And He, referring to Jesus, said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and that's an inconvenient time, right? And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Verse number 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. In other words, leave me alone. That's a nice way of saying leave me alone. By the way, you read and study the Bible, you'll find nice ways of saying things. You know how you want to say, you know, mind your own business to somebody? Biblical way is, what is that to thee? Can I get a witness on that one? You know, instead of saying shut up, you should say hold your peace. I'm just saying we can be biblically nice about it, right? Look at verse number 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Listen, the door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. And by the way, the way they lived, when they went to bed, their children would be right near them. So for them to get up, they'd have to disturb their family. I cannot rise and give thee. Look at verse 8. Here's what Jesus said. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give them because he is a friend, his friend, yet because of his importunity, there's the big word, persistent urgency. This man's got to be dedicated to the task. He can't take no for an answer. He's got to keep on knocking. Right? Because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Just get him out of here. By the way, this is not trying to say this is how God is. He's using a human illustration. He's not saying God's reluctant and you need to bother him, if you will. Amen. What he's saying, the whole emphasis of this is, listen, by the way, I don't even call this a friend at midnight. This is a friendless friend here. He's not being a friend. Amen. Now look at verse 9, because here's what Jesus said. By the way, verse number 9. And I say unto you, here's what Jesus said, ask. And it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. By the way, you know if you take the 3 words, ask, seek, and knock, all together they're ask. A-S-K. Jesus says here, listen, ask, ask. Look at verse number 10. For everyone that asketh, by the way, that word asketh, keep on asking. Receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, so asketh, seeketh, knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. So what Jesus is saying, he's using an earthly illustration to give us a heavenly meaning, if you will. And he says, listen, you need to keep on keeping on when it comes to praying. Keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. Be diligent about the task. Amen. Be diligent about the task. Look at verse number 11. Again, there's an emphasis here. The Lord is not trying to say that he's a type of friend that's not going to be disturbed by you and not going to come and answer your prayer. No, no, no. In fact, he has to back this up. Look at verse number 11. If a son shall ask bread of any one of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? In other words, Jesus said, hey, you fathers out there, you know if your children ask something for you, from you, you're not going to give them something hurtful to them. Look at verse number 13. If you human beings, if you will, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask? In the very parallel text of Matthew chapter 7, he doesn't say Holy Spirit. He says, how much shall your heavenly Father give good things to you that ask? You and I have a loving heavenly Father. And he's not like that reluctant friend, if you will. But our loving heavenly Father wants you and I to keep on praying, keep on asking, keep on seeking. Amen? Though he bear long, we need to keep on keeping on. Persistent praying. Well, it kind of reminds me of Jacob. You remember Jacob, right? You remember how Jacob wrestled with the angel? And you know how Jacob, the Lord said, let me go. And he said, no, I'm not going to let you go. Not until you bless me. I'm not leaving you go. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. He said, you know what? You got it. You got it. See, he was persistent. It wasn't that he was persistent about wanting something for his flesh. He knew he needed God's blessing. By the way, in the context, he's about ready to face Esau and he thinks he's going to die. I can't afford to live and face him. I can't afford to face my circumstances, situation without your blessing. Amen. And that's exactly what it was. I want to get a hold of him. It's a wrestling match. By the way, prayer, agonize in prayer. Agony. I mean, it's athletic term. It's striving. It's giving everything you got. I'm tired of thinking about it. I'm just tired of thinking about it. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. We have a heavenly Father who loves us, who wants the best for us, but who encourages us. Be diligent about prayer. I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't falter. Look at Luke chapter number 18, please. I knew I wasn't going to get very far with this message, but I don't care. As long as I get far enough that the Lord says what we need to hear. Amen. Some preachers concern themselves. Well, I got to get it all done. I got to get it all in there. No, we got to get what God has for us. That's all we need. That's all I need. Get the gist of it, because that's just what I need. Amen. I made that up, by the way. You could probably tell, right? That's why none of you laughed. Yeah, I figured that. Look at Luke chapter number 18. I'm just trying to encourage us. You know, I believe for some reason the Lord laid on my heart, we needed to hear something about prayer primarily this morning, for some reason. Although I need it myself, believe me. I want you to look with me, Luke chapter number 18. In Luke chapter number 18, look at verse number, let's begin in verse number 1. And he, referring to Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end. The term to this end is for this purpose. He's getting ready to tell us the purpose of the parable. That men ought what? Always to pray and not what? Not faint. Why would the Lord encourage, or why would the Lord say something about don't faint? Because I'll be honest with you, he knows and we all know that when you are trying to really pray and get a hold of the Lord, it's wearisome. And you're tempted to faint. I mean, be not weary in well-doing. Why would we have to be encouraged not to be weary in well-doing? Because it's a wearisome thing. Amen? Because of the energy and the effort and everything that it takes to do well, to do right. You ever want to get a glimpse of what it takes? Look at 2 Kings, I think it is. I think it's 2 Kings, or is it 1 Kings, chapter number 19, where Elijah just wanted to die. 1 Kings. Thank you, brother. 1 Kings. He just wanted to die. You see, why did he want to die? Look at the battle that happened on in chapter 18. This man fought with hell. This man fought with the worshipers of Baal, the prophets of Baal. This man was just in a great battle to call fire down from heaven. This, by the way, the context, look at that. He prayed. He's a praying man, by the way. You know that Elijah was a praying man. He prayed and heaven shut up. He prayed and heaven opened up. He prayed and fire came down. And by the way, prayer is very, very, what a work, what a battle, what a struggle. And then all of a sudden, he's just so depleted and drained that a woman that threatens him and he runs and wants to die. Somebody said, be very, very careful after great battles and great successes. I mean, because that's when you're at, by the way, I think Monday morning's when the devil knocks on the preacher's door. Monday morning, especially after a day, especially if heaven came down, all of a sudden hell comes up on Monday. And the preacher sometimes on Monday when the Lord's been with the gathering on Sunday, boy, I tell you, he can be depleted and physically drained and mentally drained and emotionally and prime target for discouragement. You say, how do you know that? I've been there, done that. And I didn't even get the t-shirt neither, amen. Look at Luke chapter number 18. So Jesus, he sets off. The first thing he does is lays out. Let me tell you why I'm going to give out you this parable. He says, I'm giving you this parable to encourage you to keep praying and don't quit. Verse number 2, here's the parable. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So we got the attitude of this judge. He's a man of authority who don't care about anybody. Verse number, it sounds like we got a lot of people, we got a lot of those in the city of Philadelphia. But anyway, look at verse number 3. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. You know, one of the first things we note about a widow? It's teaching us, preaching us years ago, this text. And it hit me. She had no clout. She had no man behind her. She had no clout. Why in the world should anybody listen to her? Do you know if you have clout, you get things done? If I contact somebody in the city of Philadelphia and I use the term Mark Squilla, Mark Squilla is a city councilman and he's my wife's cousin. A friend of mine, relative of mine, just got a job in the court system. Didn't even have to fill anything out, just drop a name. When you got somebody or something behind you, there's a lot of clout that goes with your request and your conversation, right? This widow comes and she don't have nobody and she don't have no. Who are you? Who are you? Let me tell you what the Lord's saying. You don't have to have clout to get answers. You just got to have stick-to-itiveness. Can I get a witness on that one? They'll get to know who you are. You're not the widow. You're the troublemaker. Give her what she wants. We don't need her around here. Amen. Look at verse number. By the way, my brother's a police officer in the city of Philadelphia, in the Badlands in Southwest Philadelphia. You probably see that on the news all the time. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, the area in Southwest Philadelphia is bad, real bad. And I'll tell you, the streets are so bad in that neighborhood. But there is a little old lady that lives on one of the streets. And I'll be honest with you, these cops can't go to every street and tell everybody to be quiet and behave and so on. They're just a mess. But there's a little old lady, she constantly calls the captain of the district, to the point, my brother said, that they have to go out there and deal with her issue. I mean, listen, in the city of Philadelphia, if you know what I'm talking about, you don't call, yeah, my neighbor's got the radio up too loud. They ain't running out there. They got too many priorities. They got too many dead people. But you get a little old lady just keeps on calling, keeps on. The captain gets bothered, and then all of a sudden he said, do something about it. I'm tired of this. That's just the story right here, by the way. Look at verse number four. And he would not, boy, he would not. Not that he could not, he would not for a while. I like that, for a while, right? But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God and nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, there's diligence right there. She weary me. I'm tired of her. Give her what she wants. Get her out of here. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long them? Verse number 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily when he comes and he deals with things. It's going to be quick. Nevertheless, get the next statement. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith on earth. What does it take to keep on seeking them? Faith. What does it take to keep on seeking them? Faith. The judge said this: "This widow troubleth me. Give her what she wants. She troubles me." There's a story. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. But in Mark chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, a man named Jairus came to the Lord and said, "My daughter is at the point of death. I need you to come and I need you to touch her and heal her." Now, by the way, Jesus didn't have to come and touch her or heal her. He could have said it where he was at. But he complied. He said, "Let's go." They started making their way. And by the way, this girl was 12 years old. You remember? She was near death. They started making their way. And all of a sudden, there was an interruption. A woman that had an issue 12 years, right? What's up with the 12? I personally think it's a representation of the nation of Israel. Sick. Even 9 to death, God can still save and resurrect. But that's another story, another time. So anyway, this woman comes in and she says, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that he'll make me whole." And she did everything she could. She was diligent about the task, right? She heard about Jesus, knew what he could do, and said, "If I could just get to him, I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to get to him. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to draw virtue from him. I'm going to be healed." And by the way, she did that. And you remember the story. After that story takes place, they continue on their way. And all of a sudden, what happens? Servants come from Jairus' house. And they come to Jairus and they say, "Your daughter's dead." Here's the question they put to him: "Why trouble the master any further?" That's a good question, isn't it? Why trouble the master any further? The situation, by the way, we don't know the daughter's name. I gave her a personal name. Her name is Hope. Somebody comes and says, "Hope's dead." Some hope. Why trouble the master? Why pray about it? Why seek him about it? It's over. Jesus immediately upon hearing that said, "Be not afraid. Only believe." You keep troubling the master because the master can do something about it. Amen? Let me close with this illustration. There was a boy was put to bed. Little boy put to bed. And sometimes, you know how little boys can be. He was thirsty. Had to get a drink. He forgot to get a drink before he went to bed. Not a big drink. We don't want a big drink before bed. Can I get a witness on that one? For us older people, you'll be up early in the morning going to the bathroom. Amen. So this little boy gets put to bed and he's up there and his mom and dad are downstairs. And he said, "Mom, can I have a cup of water?" And she said, "You go to bed. It's late enough as it is." And he's like, about a few minutes later, "Mom, can I have a cup of water?" And she said, "You better get to bed and you better go to sleep. Because you." And one more time, "Mom, can I have a cup?" She said, "I'm going to come up there and spank you." He said, "Will you bring the cup of water when you come up?" Folks, that's diligence. That's sticking to the task. I don't care if I got to pay for it. I need it. That is prayer. I need it. I'm going to pay for it in the sense of I'm going to do what I got to do to get to him. May God help us. I got through 1 point out of 4, but nonetheless, we'll see what happens. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Father, encourage, strengthen our hearts. Help us to be a people who whisper a prayer in the morning, in the noon, in the evening. Help us to be a people who just simply stay in contact with heaven. Not limited to a certain prayer time. Not mandatory to a certain prayer time. But people who do take time to get alone and speak with thee. And to speak with thee throughout the day, throughout the night. Father, help us to be diligent about the task of prayer. I think of that man that went to that friend at midnight. That was not for him. That diligence in prayer was for the sake of somebody else. And I think of intercession. And I think of how we need to be diligent in praying for the sake of others. And then I think of that widow. It was for her. She was diligent about what she needed. And so I'm praying, dear Lord, that you'll help us in our needs and help us in reference to the needs of others to pray and to pray as we ought. In Jesus' precious name, Amen. By the way, let me say this before we're actually done right here. I was reading one time in James. Is any man sick among you? What? Pray. Anybody, I forget the term. Happy? Let him sing. Life has a way of either handing us a songbook or a prayer book. Amen. God help us to pray, not only for ourselves, but for others. Amen. Thank you.